Strike against GM.
We have to do what we have to do.
Attack on Saudi oil facilities.
Prices are likely to go up.
Rock stars, sudden deaths.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. At the stroke of midnight, the strike went on. About 50,000 members of the United Auto Workers Union walking off the job at General Motors. Here's CBS's Dean Reynolds.
The strike comes after GM's 2015 labor deal with the union expired Saturday.
We want to be paid fairly. We make quality cars, and we want quality pay.
Almost a decade after its 2009 bankruptcy, General Motors made $8.1 billion last year. Now the union argues it deserves a bigger share of the profits it helped create. But GM leadership insists its proposed contract is competitive.
We think this offer is very sound and strong with investments and job creation.
The automaker's suggested deal includes over $7 billion in domestic investment, more than 5,400 new jobs, and a ratification payment of $8,000 per worker.
Oil prices shot up after the drone attack on key Saudi oil facilities. Tensions in the region are higher, too. Iran has denied it was behind the action. The U.S. is suggesting otherwise. CBS's Chris Van Cleve on the possible economic impact.
One fuel price expert tells CBS he expects the jump will be between 10 and 25 cents per gallon. He calls the increase, quote, annoying but not likely to change consumer behavior. Now, how long the spike in gas prices will last, that depends on how fast the Saudis can restore production. And at this point, we don't really have estimates on how long those repairs will take. We know that some of the capacity that's offline is expected to come back sometime this week. But gas price experts tell us the longer this drags on, the higher prices are likely to go.
I'm Stephen Portnoy. Aiming to keep oil prices stable, the president says he's prepared to dip into America's strategic petroleum reserve. The government has about 600 million barrels stored, more than 100 times what the damaged Saudi facilities could produce in a single day. On Twitter, Mr. Trump says he's waiting on confirmation from the Saudis as to who's responsible for the strike, along with advice from the kingdom as to how to proceed. The president says the U.S. is locked and loaded, depending on verification. He used similar phrasing, cocked and loaded, this summer, after the U.S. and Iran shot down an American surveillance drone. Ultimately, Mr. Trump decided not to launch a retaliatory strike for fear it would lead to a disproportionate loss of life.
Late last night, OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma filed for bankruptcy protection. We're live with CBS's Vicki Barker.
The idea is to use the bankrupt company's remaining assets to settle some 2,600 lawsuits. Oh, and also to shield the Sackler family that owns Purdue Pharma from further legal action. But New York and Illinois are among those accusing the Sacklers of having moved company assets overseas to protect them. The state say they'll fight to get hold of that money, which they'll then use to help fight the opioid epidemic Purdue Pharma's been accused of helping to trigger. Steve?
Well, some of the Democratic presidential candidates are calling for the impeachment of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh after a new revelation of alleged sexual misconduct decades ago. CBS's Nancy Cordes says it surfaced in a book by two New York Times reporters.
A classmate at Yale says that he saw Kavanaugh expose himself to a female student at a party in the 1980s. However, the female student refused to be interviewed for the book, and apparently friends say she doesn't recall the incident.
President Trump defended Kavanaugh on Twitter. The Cars revved up music's new wave in the late 1970s. And this morning, there's word the band's frontman, Rick Ocasek, was found dead in his New York City apartment. Shake it up. Shake it up. New York City police say there were no signs of foul play. The cause of death is not known. Ocasek's age is a matter of debate, ranging from 70 to 75. The Cars were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year. Temporary tents will serve as courtrooms in a way beginning today in an effort to ease the backlog of cases at the southern border. Video conferencing will put those people held up in Mexico before a U.S. judge. CBS's Maria Villarreal is in the border town Matamoros.
Since the Remain in Mexico program began, there are hundreds, if not thousands, here waiting for their day in court 100 yards from the port of entry. There is a second group here, though, as well, who've been waiting months to legally request asylum in the U.S. and won't be able to do that any longer. A new immigration policy says migrants have to ask for asylum in the first country they arrive in. So if they're coming here from Honduras, they have to make or ask the Mexican government for asylum first.
Well, Hurricane Humberto is a Category 1 storm now. It brushed the Bahamas, and it will bring large swells and possible rip currents along the southeast coast. Forecasters say it's expected to head out to the open water of the Atlantic Ocean. Our series, Eye on Earth, looks at our planet ahead of a UN summit on climate change next week. CBS News correspondent Mark Phillips takes us to an undersea science lab.
About 5 miles off Isla Mirada in the Florida Keys is an underwater lab called the Aquarius Reef Base. The point of being down here is that actually living on the sea floor means scientists can do more than just the relatively short dives that are possible from the surface. Once acclimatized to the pressure, they can stay out for hours, and down here for days. They almost become, says marine ecologist Mike Heithaus, sea creatures themselves.
So you get a sense of change that you don't with just instruments in the water or just little tiny dives. So you need these observatories like Aquarius to keep an eye on what the reefs are doing and figure out the solutions.
Here's one of the major problems the Aquarius scientists are working on. Hurricane Irma did major damage to the seagrass beds that grow just off the coast.
There's as much CO2 stored in seagrass meadows as there is in tropical forests on an acre-by-acre basis. And we're losing seagrasses faster than we're losing coral reefs.
It's the kind of observation that takes the time only a place like Aquarius can provide.
With rapid growth often comes upheaval, and not just for humans.
Experts say venomous snakes, especially copperheads, are on the move because of rapid urbanization and a wet winter last year. It's not like they want to be, though.
They want to hide. They want to avoid conflict as much as possible.
Benjamin German is an emergency room doctor in North Carolina.
Most of the bites we see are actually around people's houses, so and in some fairly suburban areas.
There's been a 10% increase in snake bites this year in the Carolinas, Georgia, and Texas. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Raleigh, North Carolina.
A week before the Emmy Awards, they gave out the Creative Arts Emmys last night in Los Angeles. Bradley Whitford and Cherry Jones won for their roles in The Handmaid's Tale, and Jane Lynch and Luke Kirby for their parts in the comedy The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.